BBC News with Nick Kelly. The Egyptian military has warned against any attempt to disrupt the country's political transition following its decision to oust the former president, Mohamed Morsi. The defence minister, General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, said the future of the nation was too important for any hindrance. The interim president, Adli Mansour, has started naming his government, picking a former finance minister, Hassan al-Bablawi, as prime minister, and the liberal politician, Mohamed al-Baradei, as deputy president. Sebastian Usher reports.
The announcement of the interim prime minister in Egypt is aimed at trying to restore some semblance of stability to the country. The man chosen, Hassan al-Bablawi, did not originally feature as a likely candidate, but the fact that he has experience as a former finance minister sends a message that the country's failing finances will be a major priority. The ousted president Mohamed Morsi's failure to get to grips with that key issue was a major reason for his downfall. It's also significant that his appointment is met with the approval of a radical Islamist An-Nur party, which had threatened to withdraw from the political process after the killings in Cairo on Monday.
Egypt's prime minister designate says he will offer cabinet posts to the political wing of the Muslim Brotherhood. Russia says it has proof that Syrian rebels used the nerve gas sarin in a missile attack on a government-controlled suburb of Aleppo in March. The Russian ambassador to the United Nations, Vitaly Turkin, said Russian experts who were invited by the Syrian government had taken samples from the missile's point of impact.
The results of the analysis clearly indicate that the ordnance used in Khan al-Asal was not industrially manufactured and was filled with sarin. The sarin technical specifications prove that it was not industrially manufactured either. The absence of chemical stabilizers in the samples of the detected toxic agents indicate the relatively recent production. The projectile involved is not a standard one for chemical use. Therefore, there is every reason to believe that it was the armed opposition fighters who used the chemical weapons in Khan al-Asal.
The rebels have blamed the same attack on the Syrian army. The three American women who police say were held captive in a Cleveland home for a decade have spoken publicly for the first time since their escape. They thank people for helping them rebuild their lives. Michelle Knight, who was held for the longest time, said faith had helped her through.
I may have been through hell and back, but I am strong enough to walk through hell with a smile on my face and with my head held high. We have been hurt by people, but we need to rely on God as being the judge. Thank you for all your prayers. I'm looking forward to my brand new life.
You're listening to The World News from the BBC. Members of Colombia's biggest rebel group, the FARC, and government negotiators have said they have made progress in their ongoing talks about political participation, but they are yet to arrive at an agreement. As another round of negotiations came to an end in Cuba, a joint statement invited Colombians to participate in the talks via a website. The two sides are currently discussing how the rebels could make the transition into politics should a peace deal be signed. South Korean officials and engineers have crossed the demilitarized zone into North Korea for the first time in 3 months. They went to the business and industrial zone at Gaesong to check facilities, power supplies and communication links at the joint venture complex that's been idle since April. The International Monetary Fund has scaled back its forecast for world economic growth because of a slowdown in major emerging economies and a deeper recession in the eurozone. The IMF is predicting 3% growth worldwide this year, slightly less, 0.2% less, than it forecast 3 months ago. And Nigeria's football authorities have suspended four teams involved in decisive playoff matches that ended 79-0 and 67-0. Officials have promised to investigate, calling it a scandal of huge proportions. James Reid reports.
Even in a country where corruption is endemic, these results have caused astonishment and outrage. Nigeria's Football Federation called them a mind-boggling show of shame. At stake was promotion to the nationwide league. The two winning teams, Plateau United Feeders and Police Machine, went into the matches level on points, so goal difference was decisive. Almost all the goals were scored in the second half, a rate of well over one a minute. Promotion for either team now looks unlikely. Along with the sides they thrashed, they've been suspended pending investigation of what looks like blatant match fixing.
BBC News.